97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Song.
Welcome back.
High school.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome into another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here, back. Much different setting than the last time I spoke to you guys. I have a much different view.
It's about the same temperature though now, isn't
it? Yeah, that's a good point. It really is.
Are you wearing your ears?
No, I am not wearing my ears.
But you didn't get them surgically implanted? Come on.
Not yet. I do have my a Mickey Mouse tattoo. For real.
You don't identify as a mouse.
Yeah, but you've had that forever.
Yeah, I've had it forever. What's that, Bo?
I thought you identified as a mouse now.
No, I do not identify as a mouse. However, I will say that I definitely miss Florida. It was the weather, the great outdoors in Florida right now is pretty tough to beat. So,
yeah.
But I am definitely happy to be back. We've got a great show for you today. Bo, thanks again for all your help last week. Carl, of course, thanks as well.
You're welcome.
It's a great show. Thanks for having me on. Thanks for letting me call in while I was on vacation. Like I said, it was the last time I spoke with you. I was sitting perfectly in between
poolside,
a lake and a pool. And
rub it in.
Yeah, it was. So this is a much different view that I have today. But how was everybody's week? How was everybody's 2 weeks actually while I was gone? Did I miss anything big, Bo?
No.
No, not really. But you know, we do talk about the Second Amendment here, and I'm getting concerned of what we're going to talk about today. Although you know, nothing from our new administration, but I've been sharpening my chains on my chainsaw, so you know, at least I could arm myself if I need to.
we actually have some breaking news to discuss that we will get into here as we go throughout the show. Something happened today as we're recording this show. Something just happened about an hour ago in Jeff City, and we'll talk about that. In fact, let's go ahead and talk about it with our guest who joins us every week right now at this time, and that, of course, is Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory. Aaron, how's it going, dude?
Good. How are you?
I am well. So I wanted to...
You're not that tan, though.
No?
Not really.
You think so? Okay, well, you know.
You have olive skin anyway.
Yeah, and I've been back for several days now, so, you know, starting to lose my glow.
You should have spray tanned just to sell it, you know?
Yeah. So I want to get everybody's reaction to this. We've had Nick Schroer on the show many times. We've had, of course, Alex Salzman from the Missouri Firearms Coalition on the show. And we've talked a lot on this show about the Second Amendment Protection Act.
Preservation.
Act. Excuse me. I always do that.
Man, we pounced on you.
We got him.
You did. And as the words were coming out of my mouth, I knew that I was wrong. The SAPA bill, the Second Amendment Preservation Act.
Jared Taylor.
Just this morning, on Thursday morning as we record this, the Missouri House has passed the SAPA bill by a vote of 103-43 in favor of the bill. So this will move on now to the Senate. It has taken a big step in becoming a law here in the state of Missouri. So this is the bill that basically will protect Missourians and will protect any Second Amendment, any infringements on the Second Amendment that are passed at the federal level. This will preemptively protect Missouri from those laws, basically saying, look, you can't influence our Second Amendment rights from the federal level. We're going to do that here at a state level. That's what this bill essentially says. So, Aaron, I want to get your thoughts first on the Second Amendment Preservation Act and this big step that was taken this week.
There will be challenges from the federal government.
Oh, yeah.
So, and what they're going to do is they're going to use the Commerce Clause to you know, come in and try to regulate it. But what will happen is ultimately, if anything's been made in Missouri, right? And when I mean like made, I mean like barrels, trigger components, stocks, like everything was made right here in Missouri, then the argument could be made because none of that crossed state lines. Now the Commerce Clause does not apply. So this may spur some development right here in Missouri from, you know, injection molding sites to, you know, just your individual components of a firearm. Now, you know, listeners need to keep in mind, we do have Central Missouri Machine Gun, CMMG, right here in Missouri. Black Rain Ordnance is here in Missouri. And then you get in like Fiocchi, they make ammunition, they're here as well. So there are a lot of companies in Missouri already that exist. The question is how much of their product is made in Missouri? And when it comes to like your AR-15, your bulk carrier group, there's only, you know, a few companies that actually make that in the world. So, and I don't know where they're actually located. So you'd be, it might be interesting as a whole to find out what guns are made 100% right here in Missouri. So
how many, I mean,
Browning
couldn't be
Browning.
Yeah,
is,
go ahead, Bo.
I'm sorry.
No,
Browning
ahead.
Is here. Yeah. CMMG Browning is here.
Yeah. Down in Arnold. So, but a lot of their stuff, you know, it comes in too. So, you know, it's going to be a strict test.
Yeah. I would imagine that there would be almost nothing that would be made 100% every piece, every part in any location, Missouri or otherwise.
Right. Like just you, like a car.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I wouldn't think that'd be possible.
I mean, that's the argument. Now, I've mentioned this before. Other states have done this, and you know, really like applied to the NFA items, right? Your suppressors, machine guns, that sort of stuff. And I guess I'm going to be jumping on since this is looking like it's going to happen, and seeing some of the legal hurdles that those states had to kind of overcome to get to where they are. So.
You know, it's been funny. We've talked about the lack of communication and kind of, you know, we're all expecting this big wave of Second Amendment bills or, you know, executive orders. And the president has gotten around to addressing it to some extent now. But I also just saw a report earlier today that President Biden has set the, I think, all-time record for the longest a president has ever been in office without having a press conference,
a solo press conference.
Where the president is at the podium answering questions. The president's silence on many things, but, you know, pertinent to our discussion, especially the Second Amendment, to this point, you know, months in now, or a couple months in at least, is very strange. Are you surprised, Aaron, at how... how slowly the president and Democrats in Washington have been about passing or, you know, enacting executive orders in the world of the Second Amendment?
Yeah, I am. But if I recall correctly, that Biden had indicated, hey, I'm going to do these executive orders. And really, Trump opened that door with the bump stock thing, but it is what it is. But then he came to the conclusion that it needed to be done legislatively via bills because executive orders are very easy to undo. So with all that being said, you know, if you want to really make it permanent, you really want to clamp down, you want to make it where we can't have this massive, you know, red wave in 2024, and get all this stuff undone, then legislature is the way to do it. Follow that up with, yeah, it has been 40 plus days. He's not had a solo news conference. I was watching a solo like Zoom meeting among Democratic leaders. Ben Shapiro had posted it. Mm-hmm. And as soon as he said,
I saw that.
You know, hey, anybody got any questions? They immediately cut that live feed. And I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
then
it's like he's
the other
got so close.
It's like he's afraid to answer questions. You know what? He was like that on the during the campaign. He was like that on the election
Yeah, but hold on, Tony. Hold on. When he was asked about what kind of milkshake he got, he did answer. So we've gotten some answers. My question to the board of directors here is the Second Amendment Preservation Act, has that been successful in other states around the country, maybe Texas or Utah? I don't know. I mean, you know, do they set precedents of success with a SAPA bill like we're, you know, hopefully
that's a great question. Aaron, do you know that, or go ahead?
Yeah, it was either Kansas or Nebraska that had done this, and the federal government had come in, if I recollect correctly, and clamped down on some guys that had NFA items.
It was Kansas in 2013.
There you go.
2013. There you go. And I probably did read the resolution out. I just don't remember. I mean, it's.
And I wonder if it's ever really been challenged. You know, I wonder if it's ever really been put to the test.
Well, I imagine that federal government coming in and clamping down on guys with suppressors. Did they have machine guns too, Chad?
Well, there are now 9 states that have some sort of SAPA laws. Alaska, Arizona, Idaho, North Dakota, Tennessee, Wyoming, Missouri, North Dakota, and Texas.
Yeah, so it'll be very interesting to see.
The other half of that, too, is, you know, 2016, Trump administration came in, and they were not going to mess. They were not going to mess with that at all. So I'd be curious. I'm going to probably do some Googling and see, but I definitely know there was some action in Kansas.
Yeah.
100%. And I just don't remember the resolution to it.
Right.
So
what's the latest at Southern Armor, Aaron?
Well, we are stacked up with magazines.
Okay.
Got ARs. We've got just got in, if you're kind of a collector of cool things. Remington, you know, we all know Remington went out of business. We have DPMS AR-10 lowers. Remember, DPMS is part of that Remington line, and they are complete. And we have the kits that you can then build if you want to build your own. When I say complete, I mean right down to buffer tube, spring, buffer, stock, you know, everything you need, you have a complete lower. And all you do is get an upper and whatever barrel caliber you want. I actually picked one up myself. I'm going to do a 6.5 Creedmoor. Then we have the AR-15 marked Remington arms on them, lowers that are in, and just kind of a cool piece of history. So grab it now while you can. Again, you know, the AR-15 lowers the exact same way. You got all the parts right down to the buttstock, buffer tube, and spring. It's literally a complete lower. We say like complete lower parts kit, but you know, it's got literally everything that goes on there. So kind of cool, a little piece of history, and you throw whatever upper you want on it. AR-15, you know, it's got a ton of different calibers that you can do with that. Magazines have been kind of an interesting topic because everybody's pretty much thinking they're going to get the magazines, at least on this go-around. And then, strangely enough, we've been selling a lot of 50 BMG because they've been talking about the caliber restrictions. So I think we are now out of 50 BMG. We're trying to source some more as things go on. That is pretty much it.
Oh, what about in, you know, it's been a couple of weeks since I talked to you. Have you been able to get more ammo, and have things slowed down as far as the pressure on people stocking up on ammo you know, those common size firearms?
Yeah, so I mean, we're still getting literally like a pallet in every week. And that pallet, you know, used to cost us like $2,500 or $3,000. Now it's way more than that. Is reflected by ammo prices. And then we got word from Federal, hey, expect another, it was like 3 to 5 or 5 to 7%, I can't remember, 5 was definitely in there, percent increase in production cost. Hooray, ammo's going to go up again. So that was sarcasm.
We weren't
picking up on it. And just kind of baffled about this. But you know, we've got enough doses now come May for every adult that wants a COVID shot to get one.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping, I'm trying not to politicize
to too
much, even though Trump really influenced that through about April into April. Anyway, with that being said, hopefully, you know, we can start getting vax or anti-vaxxer. If it gets us back to normal, at least in the firearms industry, where these manufacturers can run three full shifts a day and not really be cut down to half capacity, because a lot of these manufacturers were, every other shift was cleaning. So first and third were working, second was cleaning, next day first and third were cleaning, second was working. That's half capacity, okay? And what happens when you're running half capacity? You got limited stock, supply and demand, prices shoot up, etc. So, you know, hate it or love it, it doesn't matter if it gets us back to normal, at least in our industry, where you can walk in and buy. I don't think you're ever going to see freaking $9 or $10 box of 9mm again. I think those days are long gone. I hope I'm wrong, but probably gone, right? They've showed that the industry will support this kind of pricing, and it's... And it is what it is.
Aaron, if people want to get out and see you there at Southern Armory, take a turn in the simulator, which is always a really great experience, especially for people that have not been able to take classes or get any training in the last year because of the pandemic. The simulator there at Southern Armory is a great resource for folks.
Yep.
How can they find you?
We had people in there using it the other day. And,
nice.
It was good to hear the screams of the zombie, or people running away from zombies, and the balloon animals pop, and it was just fun. And then of course Piper was like going nuts because she likes to shoot zombies. We went from balloon animals right to zombies.
That's great.
I love it.
That's great.
So anyway, come out and see us. We're located 1 mile east of 270-44 at 9901 Watson Road. And you find us on the socials, Southern Armory, Second Amendment News Podcast, and SouthernArmory.com.
SouthernArmory.com.
That's SouthernArmory.com.
And that is the owner of Southern Armory, Aaron Tarlow. Aaron, great to talk with you, my friend. We will talk to you same time next week.
All right. You guys, Tony, Carl, and Bo, you guys behave. We'll see you next week.
You bet.
Thanks,
talk
Aaron.
To you then.
Behave.
All right.
Don't threaten us.
Got a break coming up a little bit later in the show. We are going to talk to Warren Patton from the Gateway RV Dealers Association. Talk about this weather. Right before I left, we were in the middle of that deep freeze, and it was absolutely horrible. But this past week, the weather has just been absolutely beautiful, and I think it is giving everybody the itch to get outside and enjoy the great outdoors. And there's no better way to do so than taking out an RV and getting out into the campgrounds, enjoying the great outdoors that way. So we're going to talk to Warren about that a little bit later on in the show. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. The guns in the sky. Happiness is a warm gun. Happiness is a warm gun, mama. Hello and welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with producer Carl Middleman.
Pew pew.
And my partner Bo Matthews.
Present.
Just talking to Aaron Tarlow from Southern Armory. In that last segment, we're going to talk to Warren Patton from the Gateway RV Dealers Association. In the next segment, if you miss anything on today's show or you want to hear it again, don't forget about our podcast, Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors podcast. You can get just about anywhere that there are podcasts, but I recommend the radio.com app, because on the radio.com app, it's free. And you can stream the station 24/7, and you can rewind live radio, and you can get this podcast and the podcast of every other show on this station, all there on the radio.com app. And of course, we put out two podcasts every week. We put out this, what you're hearing now, the show podcast that goes out every Friday. And then our podcast exclusive, which is exactly that. It's exclusive conversation, kind of bonus talk that you don't get here on the show, that sometimes stays on topic and sometimes doesn't. You never know where the podcast exclusive is going to go. And we release that podcast every Monday. Warren Patton from the Gateway RV Dealers Association is going to stick around and be a part of that podcast as well. So you hear Warren in the next segment, and we'll talk more with Warren in the podcast exclusive this week. Bo, I want to get back for a moment here because we're going to be getting out into the great outdoors in the next segment with Warren, and I think that's good for everybody. But we were touching there in that first segment with Aaron about the SAPA Act here in Missouri, the Second Amendment Preservation Act that passed in the Missouri House this week. It's a big step for that bill.
It's huge.
Yeah. On its way to becoming law in the state. And this bill, essentially, the Cliff Notes version is it would protect Missouri from any federal laws that would infringe on Second Amendment rights. It would make it so Missouri law enforcement officers are not required to enforce federal laws that are passed that would infringe on our Second Amendment rights. But here's a couple of the details of the SAPA Act, and I want to kind of get, you know, I'd love to hear from the listeners what they think, and Bo, of course, get your reaction as well, Carl chime in as well. So the measure would penalize local police departments if their officers enforce federal gun laws. Those agencies could be sued by those who broke federal gun laws and would face a minimum of $50,000 in fines. So basically, if a Missouri law enforcement officer or organization would enforce federal gun laws that infringe on Second Amendment rights, they could be penalized in the form of a fine. Federal law enforcement in the state of Missouri can still enforce those gun laws without penalty. So if you're dealing with a federal law enforcement officer, even though you're in the state of Missouri, the SAPA Act does not protect you there. A lot of people in the law enforcement industry and obviously people that support the Second Amendment are very excited and very supportive of this bill, but not everybody is. Greene County Sheriff Jim Arnott, in a letter to lawmakers and other Missouri elected officials last week, said his agency often works with federal agencies to prosecute gun offenses that are both state and federal crimes, and he thinks that this would be a problem, that this would let's see, I'm trying to find his quote here. He says that the bill would inhibit prosecution of dangerous criminals. I don't know about that, but he's a sheriff and I'm not.
I don't see how that could be a concern because to the law-abiding gun owners like you, like me, like a lot of people that listen to this program, we're just waiting to find out what the taxes are going to be, or the fees are going to be to own a firearm. And I've heard some enormous numbers that have been, you know, tossed around, you know, $2,000 per firearm a year. What? That doesn't even make sense. I would say this, though, the federal law enforcement agencies in Missouri should be able to do what they need to do for people that are running guns or humans or whatever is up 44. You know, if there's a gang and they have, you know, automatic weapons, which they do, or semi-automatic that are illegal, then we do need those laws, you know, on a federal level for the bad guys, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to the law-abiding Americans, it's really, I go to the range. That's not breaking a law. I'm going to the range to hone my skills, and most gun owners do that same thing. So I don't know. It just doesn't seem like it makes a lot of sense. So his concern in Greene County, you said.
Yeah, Greene County Sheriff. Yeah,
I just don't see it.
And, you know, to your point, one of the bill's sponsors, Republican Representative Jared Taylor, said about this, about all these concerns, quote, if they don't violate a person's Second Amendment rights, then they have nothing to worry about. That this is just simply there to stop infringement on Missourians' Second Amendment rights. And as we sort of touched on there with Aaron in the first segment, we don't know for sure. And even talking with Representative Nick Schroer, who is also one of the sponsors of this bill and has been pushing for the SAPA Act for not just in this legislative session this year in Missouri, but this is something we've talked about in years past on this show with Representative Schroer. So he's been, you know, fighting this fight for a long time. But even he would admit, and like I said, we talked with Aaron about this, nobody's quite positive what happens when the rubber meets the road. That who you know, which entity is ultimately more powerful and able to you know, trump, no pun intended, the other. Is you know, will this bill stop ultimately stop federal infringement on Second Amendment rights, or will it be determined that the federal bills are going to be stronger?
So they were override. Yeah,
yeah. Nobody knows that for sure. But this is a way to give that at least preemptively attempt to protect Missourians. And I think it's a good thing.
Don't you think, though, that if the Biden administration wants to, you know, put out an executive order that's a federal law, that, you know, of course, they've got to get it passed. They've got to get it passed through our Congress. But don't you think that they could put language in there that says any SAPA laws or any SAPA bills does not pertain? You know what I mean? Like they're going to adjust their verbiage to make sure that they can get what they want.
And I'm sure the states will do the same thing. The states will put in there, like, no matter what the federal government says, it'll essentially turn into lawyers writing contracts, you know, with their legal mumbo jumbo to try to
and
stop
then it lands
the
on interpretation
one. Exactly
yeah, it then lands it ends on up interpretation
in,
yeah, of the law.
Then it ends up in courts and then it ends up then
it's going to end up in courts anyway,
and then it'll be, you know, the one judge that was appointed by a Republican somewhere down the line, or as a conservative judge, he'll do one thing, and then a liberal judge will do another thing, and it'll just tie up in courts forever. But I actually think that that's kind of the point. That I think that I don't know if they would admit it, you know, publicly. Probably, you know, guys like Nick Shore are pretty pretty honest dudes. Even, you know, even when it's even when they're talking about the inner workings of politics, even when it's pretty gross. Maybe in the end it doesn't work. But at least it ties things up in court for a very long time and continues to protect Missouri's, you know, Missourians' Second Amendment rights for an extended period of time. And maybe, you know, that's the point. Maybe the point is to tie it up in court until maybe there's another president, you know, or maybe until there's a different power structure in Congress. So, you know, I wouldn't put it past them just thinking that if nothing else, if we don't truly believe that this is strong enough to stop federal law, at least it's strong enough to delay it and tie things up and buy us some time to, you know, continue to find ways to protect Missourians and their Second Amendment rights.
Tony, those are all good points, but you know the Democratic Party is all about the slow roll. They've started, you know, decades ago on some of these programs, you know, especially when you hear things like, you know, college tuition, you know, getting a pass on repaying your student loan debt and that kind of thing. They've been working on that for 20 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, now they're getting a little bit closer, a little bit closer. They just keep moving the ball down the field just a little bit more. And so, I agree with you. I think the Second Amendment Preservation Act is so important. At least it's an effort. It's a chance, because the Second Amendment is so important. Although, look at what's going on with our First Amendment in this country. This is it's almost like it doesn't even exist, because so many of these people that have lost their jobs for something that they've said or something that they've posted on social media, that should be against the law. You know, all these I'm surprised that there's not a floodgate.
Maybe
of,
we're going to need
lawsuits.
A First Amendment Preservation Act after this one.
Yeah, amen to that.
First Amendment Radio.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. protecting the Second Amendment is a very good thing. And another very good thing is taking advantage of the weather warming up and getting outside and unplugging a bit and reconnecting with the great outdoors. There's nothing better than that, in my opinion.
Amen.
And we're going to take this quick break, and then when we get back, we are going to talk to Warren Patton from the Gateway RV Dealers Association about exactly that, getting out into the great outdoors. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
Nobody is more proud of their bumper music selections than the great Carl Middleman and Chad. Welcome back into Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors. Tony Colombo here with Carl Middleman.
Hello.
And, of course, my partner, Bo Matthews.
Yeah,
been talking
buddy.
A whole bunch about Second Amendment laws and Second Amendment rights and law enforcement this show. If you've missed any of it, of course, like I said, download our podcast, which you can get the podcast anywhere you get podcasts. Radio.com is where I definitely suggest you go and get the podcast. Two podcasts every week. The show podcast goes out on Friday. The podcast exclusive goes out on Monday. And so we've spent most of the show talking about those kind of serious issues. And now it's time to lighten things up. As I said, Bo, last week, when you were kind enough to let me join the show from Disney World while you were hosting and I was on vacation, I said it then. I've said it many times. I'll say it many more times. Now more than ever in this crazy world, it is, and with all the anger and all the negativity on the television and in the news
anxiety.
And in politics and yeah. It is.
Stress.
It is. It's never been more important to take time to yourself, unplug from all of that, and turn off the TV, turn off the social media, turn off the phones, and get outside and enjoy the great outdoors. You don't have to go on vacation to do that. You can do it right here. You can do it on the weekends. You can do it in the evenings when you're off work. You don't have to travel. You don't have to spend money to unplug and enjoy the great outdoors. And I don't think there's anything better for the soul, especially at a time like this. And so we're going to talk about the great outdoors for the rest of the show and into the podcast exclusive this week. And of course, anytime we're talking about the great outdoors here, it's brought to you by
Razorback Armory, your full-service firearm shop. They strive to be the area's premier destination for firearm enthusiasts. They've been doing it a long time. They love what they do, and they want to meet you. They're a half mile east of 270 on Manchester Road next to the tennis shop. Find them online with directions and everything at RazorbackArmory.com. Tell them Bo Matthews sent you into Razorback Armory. And, you know, we've been talking about this idea of talking about RVing and the RV lifestyle for weeks, the three of us, and we finally got the guy.
Yes.
This is, we got Warren Patton. He is the president of the Midwest Gateway RV Dealers Association and also in the business. Warren, welcome to the program. How are you, sir?
All right. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Oh, man. We've been looking forward to this so much. Now, I've got to know that you are the president of this organization that represents a lot of dealers and people coming, you know, to you for ideas of, okay, which way do I go? Is there, you know, is there parks to go to? But Warren, do you still RV or you, is this just your business now?
You know, I think like a lot of RV dealers, I like the lifestyle, but over the last year or so, it's been hard to find the time because we've had a very busy time. But actually, a couple of years ago, I was able to have a nice trip with my wife. We had an upcoming baby. My wife was 6 months pregnant, and we actually took a trailer, one of our rental vehicles. So I'm also with Byerly RV in St. Louis.
Right.
And we took one of our rental vehicles and actually toured a bunch of campgrounds that were around baseball stadiums. We went to four different baseball stadiums in 4 days, and we stayed at campgrounds outside each city along the way and had a really cool RV trip there.
So
yeah, it's kind of like the same question for a plumber. The plumber's got a sink that leaks, but everybody else's is fixed. He just doesn't have time for his own.
Yeah, exactly.
I was curious about that.
So Warren, we talk to, you know, on this show, we talk a lot about fishing and hunting and obviously camping. And, you know, I grew up, so my grandparents actually belonged to a camping club, and every month of the year except December and January, those were the only 2 months of the year that they took off, but it was the second weekend of every month this group got together and went camping, and I spent much of my childhood joining my grandparents on those trips. So it is something I have done hundreds and hundreds of times and greatly enjoy. But we've talked to people in the fishing industry and the hunting industry, and over the last couple of decades, those industries have seen a steady decline until recently with this pandemic and sort of what I was talking about at the beginning of the segment, people are sort of rediscovering things like fishing and hunting and the great outdoors and how great it is to get away from all this madness. And, you know, with so many things that were closed in the last year, you know, people were finding parks and lakes again. How's it been in the RV industry? Where are you guys as far as that's concerned? Is it something that is that maybe never declined, or maybe it's on the comeback? What's going on with you guys?
Well, you know, it's a little bit of an interesting history over the last 5 to 10 years, because obviously post 2008, RVs kind of went on a downhill. There was some rechanging in the industry, dealerships, manufacturers, that sort of thing. But it was on a slow rise. And really, when we got to about 2016, 17, 18, we really saw a fast rise up to a peak of all-time record shipments and everything like that. Nice. And it was starting to trail down a little bit, honestly. When we got to 2019, you were starting to see a little bit of oversaturation in the market. 20 kind of dragged a little, or 19 dragged, and then the beginning of 20 was a little concern of oversaturation of inventory. And then I think right about the time that the industry was very concerned about the economic impact of COVID and what was happening, because generally when the RV industry has had, I would say, overall macroeconomic impacts that drain people's ability to buy, it's never really bode well for our industry. But what ended up happening is, on the other side of it, people, families who had saved up for vacations, families who now had time because the kids could travel anywhere, they could take school from anywhere, people could work from anywhere, all of a sudden looked at RVing because they couldn't get on planes, they couldn't get on boats, and the industry just kind of ran last year. I mean, it just... everything, every product that was out there sold. The inventory was at all-time low levels on dealer lots. People bought everything that they could have, new, used. So we saw a huge boom to the industry and tons of people entering and finding out that this was a great way to vacation. All of a sudden, you had families realizing that, you know, this was a way for them to travel. So many first-timers, I would say 50% of the buyers were first-timers. All of a sudden, they had a new way to travel with their family. Safely be outdoors, be away from everything, and you know, I'd say disconnect, but in some ways they can still connect now because it's a little bit different away.
We only
there's
have
a lot of new people entering.
So. Only have a couple minutes left here on the show, but Warren's going to be sticking around with us for the podcast exclusive, so make sure, I've got a lot more questions and a lot more I want to talk about in this topic, so make sure you download podcast, because we're nowhere near done with this conversation. Before we run out of time on the show here, though, Bo, you got one last question for Warren?
Well, yeah. How do you empty the crapper? No, I'm just kidding. I do. No, that's my biggest fear of buying an RV. It really is. But
crapper's full.
You edited.
I did.
Warren, real quick, you guys have an RV show coming up soon, or the next one in a couple of months? I was talking to our mutual acquaintance, Tammy, and I definitely wanted to put it out there because people are shopping. I've been on Craigslist myself, but there's nothing like buying from a dealer because you have that, you know, that backing, the maintenance and all that stuff. So when is your next show for the Midwest Gateway RV Dealers Association?
Yeah, and Warren, tell us how they can learn more, too, about your organization. Give us information on just learning more about you guys and about the shows.
Absolutely. Well, so we are planning a show for April 9th through the 11th at the Six Flags parking lot, and it will be the Midwest Gateway RVDA show. That will be the 10 local trusted dealers that a lot of people in the St. Louis area are familiar with. We're the association that sponsors the downtown show that's always been at America Center, and obviously changes had to be made this year. But so we're bringing those dealers out to Six Flags April 9th through the 11th. And to find out more information, stlrv.com. Very important that it's stlrv.com. Mm-hmm. Right. We'll have information on the show, confirmation on what's going to happen, how parking will be arranged and everything like that with Six Flags. But it is one of the things that's very important is, you know, RVs are houses. They're not just a thing that you buy and you go, okay, this is not going to require any maintenance. So buying from a dealer, buying from a trusted dealer is a very important thing. And that's one of the things that the Midwest Gateway RVDA really tries to make known to customers is these dealers that are part of our association have been doing business in St. Louis for decades.
Nice.
My business in particular, I mean, we've been 73 years.
Not only is it a house, it's what I have been trying to convince my wife to be our retirement house. Is an RV so we could just travel the country after we retire. That is Warren Patton. He's the president of the Midwest Gateway RV Dealers Association. Like I said, we have lots more to talk with Warren about in the podcast exclusive this week, so make sure you download that podcast and we will continue the conversation there. But that is going to wrap up this week's show for Carl Middleman and Bo Matthews. I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
Nobody is more proud of their bumper music selections than the great Carl Middleman and Chad. Welcome back into Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with Carl Middleman.
Hello.
And, of course, my partner, Bo Matthews.
Yeah,
been
buddy.
Talking a whole bunch about Second Amendment laws and Second Amendment rights and law enforcement this show. If you've missed any of it, of course, like I said, download our podcast, which you can get the podcast anywhere you get podcasts. Radio.com is where I definitely suggest you go and get the podcast. Two podcasts every week. The show podcast goes out on Friday. The podcast exclusive goes out on Monday. And so we've spent most of the show talking about those kind of serious issues. And now it's time to lighten things up. As I said, Bo, last week, when you were kind enough to let me join the show from Disney World while you were hosting and I was on vacation, I said it then. I've said it many times. I'll say it many more times. Now more than ever in this crazy world, it is, and with all the anger and all the negativity on the television and in the news
anxiety.
And in politics and yeah. It is.
Stress.
It is. It's never been more important to take time to yourself, unplug from all of that, and turn off the TV, turn off the social media, turn off the phones, and get outside and enjoy the great outdoors. You don't have to go on vacation to do that. You can do it right here. You can do it on the weekends. You can do it in the evenings when you're off work. You don't have to travel. You don't have to spend money to unplug and enjoy the great outdoors. And I don't think there's anything better for the soul, especially at a time like this. And so we're going to talk about the great outdoors for the rest of the show and into the podcast exclusive this week. And of course, anytime we're talking about the great outdoors here, it's brought to you by
Razorback Armory, your full-service firearm shop. They strive to be the area's premier destination for firearm enthusiasts. They've been doing it a long time. They love what they do, and they want to meet you. They're a half mile east of 270 on Manchester Road next to the tennis shop. Find them online with directions and everything at RazorbackArmory.com. Tell them Bo Matthews sent you into Razorback Armory. And, you know, we've been talking about this idea of talking about RVing and the RV lifestyle for weeks, the three of us, and we finally got the guy.
Yes.
This is, we got Warren Patton. He is the president of the Midwest Gateway RV Dealers Association and also in the business. Warren, welcome to the program. How are you, sir?
All right. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Oh, man. We've been looking forward to this so much. Now, I've got to know that you are the president of this organization that represents a lot of dealers and people coming, you know, to you for ideas of, okay, which way do I go? Is there, you know, is there parks to go to? But Warren, do you still RV or you, is this just your business now?
You know, I think like a lot of RV dealers, I like the lifestyle, but over the last year or so, it's been hard to find the time because we've had a very busy time. But actually, a couple of years ago, I was able to have a nice trip with my wife. We had an upcoming baby. My wife was 6 months pregnant, and we actually took a trailer, one of our rental vehicles. So I'm also with Byerly RV in St. Louis.
Right.
And we took one of our rental vehicles and actually toured a bunch of campgrounds that were around baseball stadiums. We went to four different baseball stadiums in 4 days, and we stayed at campgrounds outside each city along the way and had a really cool cool RV trip there.
So
yeah, it's kind of like the same question for a plumber. The plumber's got a sink that leaks, but everybody else's is fixed. He just doesn't have time for his own.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I was curious about that.
So yeah, Warren, we talk to, you know, on this show, we talk a lot about fishing and hunting and obviously camping. And, you know, I grew up, so my grandparents actually belonged to a camping club. And every month of the year, except December and January, those were the only 2 months of the year that they took off. But it was the second weekend of every month this group got together and went camping. And I spent much of my childhood joining my grandparents on those trips. So it is something I have done hundreds and hundreds of times and greatly enjoy. But we've talked to people in the fishing industry and the hunting industry, and over the last couple of decades, those industries have seen a steady decline until recently with this pandemic and sort of what I was talking about at the beginning of the segment. People are sort of rediscovering things like fishing and hunting and the great outdoors and how great it is to get away from all this madness. And, you know, with so many things that were closed in the last year, you know, people were finding parks and lakes again. How's it been in the RV industry? Where are you guys, as far as that's concerned? Is it something that is, that maybe never declined or maybe it's on the comeback? What's going on with you guys?
Well, you know, it's a little bit of an interesting history over the last 5 to 10 years, because obviously post, 2008, RVs kind of went on a downhill. There was some re-changing in the industry, dealerships, manufacturers, that sort of thing. But it was on a slow rise. And really, when we got to about 2016, 17, 18, we really saw a fast rise up to a peak of all-time record shipments and everything like that. Nice. And it was starting to trail down a little bit, honestly. When we got to 2019, you were starting to see a little bit of oversaturation in the market. 20 kind of dragged a little, or 19 dragged, and then the beginning of 20 was a little concern of oversaturation of inventory. And then, I think right about the time that the industry was very concerned about the economic impact of COVID and what was happening, because generally when the RV industry has had, I would say, overall macroeconomic impacts that drain people's ability to buy, it's never really bode well for our industry. But what ended up happening is, on the other side of it, people, families who had saved up for vacations, families who now had time because the kids could travel anywhere, they could take school from anywhere, people could work from anywhere, all of a sudden looked at RVing because they couldn't get on planes, they couldn't get on boats, and the industry just kind of ran last year. I mean, it just, everything, every product that was out there sold. The inventory was at all-time low levels on dealer lots. People bought everything that they could have, new, used. So we saw a huge boom to the industry and tons of people entering and finding out that this was a great way to vacation. All of a sudden you had families realizing that, you know, this was a way for them to travel. So many first-timers, I would say 50% of the buyers were first-timers. All of a sudden they had a new way to travel with their family safely, be outdoors, be away from everything. And you know, I'd say disconnect, but in some ways they can still connect now because it's a little bit different away.
We only
There's a lot of new people entering.
So. We only have a couple minutes left here on the show, but Warren's going to be sticking around with us for the podcast exclusive. So make sure, I've got a lot more questions and a lot more I want to talk about in this topic. So make sure you download that podcast, because we're nowhere near done with this conversation. Before we run out of time on the show here, though, Bo, you got one last question for Warren?
Well, yeah. How do you empty the crapper? No, I'm just kidding. I do. No, that's my biggest fear of buying an RV. It really is. But
crapper's full.
You edited.
I did.
Warren, real quick, you guys have an RV show coming up soon, or the next one in a couple of months. I was talking to our mutual acquaintance, Tammy, and I definitely wanted to put it out there because people are shopping. I've been on Craigslist myself, but there's nothing like buying from a dealer because you have that, you know, that backing, the maintenance and all that stuff. So when is your next show for the Midwest Gateway RV Dealers Association?
Yeah, and Warren, tell us how they can learn more, too, about your organization. Give us information on just learning more about you guys and about the shows.
Absolutely. Well, so we are planning a show for April 9th through the 11th at the Six Flags parking lot, and it will be the Midwest Gateway RVDA show. That will be the 10 local trusted dealers that a lot of people in the St. Louis area are familiar with. We're the association that sponsors the downtown show that's always been at America's Center. And obviously changes had to be made this year, but so we're bringing those dealers out to Six Flags April 9th through the 11th. And to find out more information, stlrv.com, very important that it's stlrv.com. Mm-hmm. Right. You look at, we'll have information on the show, confirmation on what's going to happen, how parking will be arranged and everything like that with Six Flags. But it is one of the things that's very important is, you know, RVs are houses. They're not just a thing that you buy and you go, okay, this is not going to require any maintenance. So buying from a dealer, buying from a trusted dealer is a very important thing. And that's one of the things that the Midwest Gateway RVDA really tries to make known to customers is these dealers that are part of our association have been doing business in St. Louis for decades.
Nice.
My business in particular,
not only is it a house, it's what I have been trying to convince my wife to be our retirement house. Is an RV, so we could just travel the country after we retire. That is Warren Patton. He's the president of the Midwest Gateway RV Dealers Association. Like I said, we have lots more to talk with Warren about in the podcast exclusive this week, so make sure you download that podcast, and we will continue the conversation there. But that is going to wrap up this week's show for Carl Middleman and Bo Matthews. I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.